There's been what you might call an interesting development in the saga of SBC Ardmona at Shepparton, based in Victoria. You might remember Bush Telly went to Shepparton last month and spoke to growers who were about to bulldoze their trees because SBC, which is owned by Coca-Cola Amatil, said it could not sell its tinned fruit due to competition from imports. Now SBC Ardmona has phoned growers back to say, actually, maybe we do need your fruit. Let's find out more from the General Manager of Fruit Growers Victoria, John Wilson. John, thanks for coming back on the program.
Oh, Cameron.
So you got this phone call, I guess, out of the blue to some extent. What did SBC tell you?
I got a phone call late last Friday, and basically they said that they were reinstating half a dozen growers in the Shepparton district and another three or four in the Cobram area, and that was a response to projected increased demand in 2015 as a result of the good news that Woolworths were going to take more fruit.
So that's proof, I guess, that it's more than just rhetoric from the supermarkets and Woolworths in particular?
Well, I think so. Managing Director of SBC Ardmona, Peter Kelly, right at the very start, said that that he had to bring the business back to its basic situation of what they could sell and only buy the fruit for that. And at that stage, they couldn't sell the fruit that they're now seeking to purchase.
Mm.
And they followed up and delisted a number of suppliers. He did say that they would be making the approach for government support, making an approach for an investigation into dumping and also a safeguard action, and he would be approaching the retailers. Well, it appears that three of those retailers have come or are coming on board, and there's one not to the fore yet, and of course that puts them in a trading disadvantage.
Who's that?
That's Coles.
Mm-hmm.
And we would hope that they would come to the party, and as a consequence that means more fruit. But it does give a strange situation for growers. A lot of growers are very angry at hearing this news, even some of those that have been asked to come back, because they've made decisions based on a statement that nobody would be reinstated. And, of course, that's been partially, in fact, slightly reversed with this decision.
So what? There's this sentiment amongst growers towards SBC that you doubted us in the first place, so why should we come back and sign on with you now?
Oh, look, there's a range of emotions. It's a mixed response from anger to uncertainty. One grower said to me, "What does never ever mean?"
Mm.
so you can see and understand why they would be concerned, and those that haven't been invited back would be very disconcerted about
that they didn't get the offer. We should keep it in context. It was dozens of growers, wasn't it, that lost their contracts, so this is only a handful that have been offered the chance to supply fruit again.
We're mainly talking peaches and pears, and I believe these are peach growers that have been invited back, and some of them were continuing as either pear or plum or some other minor fruit supplier into the cannery.
Mm, okay. Hey, some growers had already made the move, though, to knock their trees down, hadn't they? How many fruit trees in the region have been pulled out or bulldozed over?
Well, that's a number we don't know exactly. I was talking to one other grower this morning, and he said he contacted the SBC Ardmona last week just before he bulldozed trees. He's since bulldozed them and got a phone call late last week saying, hang on, we want those trees, and they're gone.
Oh, so he wouldn't be too happy?
No, not happy.
No.
Understandably so.
But did growers act too early, or were they right to act on the information they had?
I think they were right to act on the information they had, based on the signals that SBC Ardmona put out from late April. The volume that they talked about dropping wasn't just an incremental, it was a significant, if you look at the 2-year reduction in peach intake, it was projected at 50%. Pears were a 50% reduction.
Mm.
And that simply means that even if they do come back, there's still going to be an oversupply of fruit, and there's still going to be the pest.
You've still got that issue. Because you had been pursuing a state government-supported program to bulldoze the trees. Does this make that a more difficult task from your point of view, to seek that kind of assistance when there's signs that maybe the fruit is needed?
Well, the Minister for Agriculture, Minister Walsh, has been quite adamant right through that he was not going to pursue any form of funding for direct funding for removal of trees. He stuck by his guns on that, but the government has put in a lot of ancillary services, although nothing direct on farm that supports the affected growers. Albeit they are now moving to change the Biosecurity Act, which could provide a circumstance where work can be done on a farm as a charge to the land and be repaid at a later stage for those that are cash-strapped by these announcements.
All right, John, well, you've had a fair bit of pretty bad news for us in recent times, so I guess we'll put this down as some good news, even if not all the growers are terribly impressed. So.
Look, from a broad industry perspective, any increase in fruit intake is good news, but of course there's going to be quite a mixed response from the growers.
All right, John, nice talking to you. Thanks a lot.
Good, thanks.
John Wilson, General Manager of Fruit Growers Victoria. You're listening to Bush Telly on RN. Let's head to Canberra now, where the swearing-in of new ministers in the federal government is underway, and the incoming industry minister has told New South Wales farmers they should embrace the coal seam gas industry. Ian McFarlane plans to tour the state to tell people firsthand that it's changed the fortunes of farmers in his home state of Queensland. Mr McFarlane says anti-CSG protesters are in the minority and he intends to sort out the issue in New South Wales. Our reporter Babs McHugh asked Mr McFarlane to expand on his plans.
Well, the problem in New South Wales is that we haven't been able to see the progress that's gone on in Queensland between farmers and miners. We've got 4,000 agreements between farmers and the gas industry in Queensland to coexist, and that's allowed the LNG industry to develop. And without that in New South Wales, we've seen the CSG supply stay in the ground. And New South Wales is facing a situation now where it will run short of gas by 2016, and literally hundreds, if not thousands, of jobs will be put in jeopardy in Newcastle, Sydney and Wollongong as a result of low gas supplies and high prices that come from that.
So are you saying that as the federal government minister, you'll override decisions that have been made by the New South Wales state government?
No, I won't be overriding anything. I will simply be trying to facilitate the progress of the industry in New South Wales, and using my experience as a farm leader of 7 years and also a farmer of 30 years to talk to farmers and gas companies about how they can coexist as they have in Queensland. We've seen 4,000 farmers sign agreements where gas companies only come onto the property if the farmer wants them there. So there hasn't been court action, there hasn't been threats. It's just been an agreement. And of course, the farmers are earning literally millions of dollars from the gas companies over the next 20 years or so, and that's millions of dollars each by coexisting, and that's giving them enormous financial security.
You've pointed to the 4,000 farmers that have worked out agreements with gas companies, but there's plenty more who certainly are very much against any gas exploration on their property. So it's not exactly a perfect model that you're telling New South Wales they should be following.
Well, I don't know where the plenty more are in Queensland. There's certainly a couple of hundred that I know of that are opposed to gas on their properties, and the companies are simply not drilling there, and that's the farmer's decision. That's our policy, that if the farmer doesn't want the gas company on their property, then the gas company shouldn't go there. So, yes, there are some farmers still in Queensland who are opposed to gas on their properties, but in reality, they are now a small minority compared to the thousands of farmers who've signed up to have gas developed on their properties.
What about the farmers in the Darling Downs floodplain area?
Well, the gas companies aren't pushing that issue. They're working their way through that steadily. They're drilling monitoring bores. They've had discussions with farmers, and I think out near Dalby, for instance, on the floodplain, Arrow have drilled 6 wells. With the consent of Ian Haylor, who's the local farmer out there, and they're going to watch and see what happens there. And that's what it's about. It's about where you're not sure of the science, proving up the science so you understand what the water's doing in relation to coal seam in extraction.
Well, there's certainly a need to prove up the science there with Arrow, isn't there? Their initial environmental impact statement was heavily criticised by the Independent Scientific Committee. There remains concern in that floodplain area. Are you saying that you are going to support pushing ahead, or would you consider another? Would you consider not pushing ahead with Arrow?
Well, I'm happy to see the industry progress this by themselves. Arrow seem to have a good relationship to be developed, which is developing with farmers. They, as I say, they're not in conflict or court with any of them. And I'm talking about the true farmers. I'm talking about the farmers who've asked Arrow to come onto their properties and do some well monitoring. So I don't see a reason for me to get involved there. I'm just saying to people, there are farmers in Queensland, literally thousands of farmers in Queensland, who are earning income from the gas industry, which is giving them the financial security and the ability to use more fertiliser, buy better tractors, buy better cattle, use better agronomy practices, because they've got the risk underwritten by independent income. I think farmers should be involved in this issue. It's their future. And if they're involved and they're basing their concerns on facts and science, then we've all got a responsibility to listen to it. But I'm not interested in noisy protesters, minority groups with no interest in the development of regional Australia and the economic progress of agriculture and mining together, who simply want to politicise this issue and tell lies.
Industry Minister Ian McFarlane, who's just been sworn in with the new coalition ministry in Canberra this morning. He was speaking there to Babs McHugh.